You know, we talk about discouragement, and you know, many of you raised your hand. And if I changed the question and I said, "How many of you have ever been discouraged in your life?" I have a feeling that you all would raise your hand. And I won't put everyone on the spot because I just be honest. All of us would be discouraged. Discouragement is a part of life, and a lot of times it's a part of life. I mean, it's a big part of life, but this area of discouragement is an area that probably affects us as much as any area, because it changes the way we think, it changes the way we act, it changes the way we live life, it changes our direction. There's just so many variables that go along with this word and what this word actually does to us. And a lot of times as Christians, because in this whole series, you know, you matter and you make a difference, and you do, and understanding that, you know, wherever you are in your life and whatever you're going through in your life, you matter. You matter to God, you matter to people, you matter to your family, you matter, it doesn't matter, you matter. And you can make a difference where you are. That's not based on your social status, your financial status, it's not based on anything like that. It is based on the fact that you were created. God created you to be a masterpiece, Ephesians 2:10. And that masterpiece, it's a one-of-a-kind thing. You're unique, but it has a purpose. It has a purpose. And that purpose is to fulfill the plan and the works that God has put inside of you to do. And so in understanding that you matter, a part of this journey, when, you know, we talked about burdens and we've been talking about chasing these burdens and, you know, and making the difference and being leaders and all this different stuff and trying to really just get this whole concept of you mattering and me mattering in our lives, discouragement is something that you're going to face. God gives you an idea. God gives you the burden. You acknowledge it. You're like, okay, you know, I got this. And then you begin this journey and you're excited. And you're doing all these things, and then all of a sudden, bam, something happens, something is said, something is done, and that little seed of discouragement is planted. And once it's planted, this was something that my wife shared this morning. That's all Satan needs to do is plant that little seed. He doesn't have to come in and totally blow your life up, just a little seed. And then we take it from there. I mean, come on, we do. We water that thing. We nurture that thing. We pull the weeds around that thing. And it's almost like we want this to grow. And we do that within our minds. And we do, I mean, it's just what happened, discouragement. Nehemiah traveled about 1,000 miles back to Jerusalem after he received his burden. After God had placed this in his heart, you know, the walls around his city were down, his people were in danger, you know, they could be attacked, and he was 1,000 miles away, and he has got this burden, so he says, you know what, I'm going to do something about this. He prayed to God and asked, and then he developed this plan, and then he made the journey, and he went to these people, and he inspired them. He said, look, man, these walls are down, and we can rebuild them. You can do this. We can do this. And so, you know, and so he goes through that. And so they start and they're like, yeah, let's do this. And so they start making progress. But the problem is, whenever you move forward with God, opposition always shows up. And sure enough, in this story, as you'll see today, the opposition showed itself. Specifically in the name of a couple of people, Sanballat and Tobiah. And they were, you know, and all these other political people that were wanting to make these decisions and keep them from building this wall. And, you know, they didn't want the walls to go up because they wanted to keep the Jews weak and broken. It was a control thing. And as long as those walls were down, they could kind of control and manipulate how things were going, okay? And they're actually trying to guard their power and their own financial interests. Whenever you move forward for God, it's a given that your enemy wants to stop you. Your enemy being Satan or the devil. So how do you defeat discouragement when you often face opposition? Because whenever you move forward for God, you need to understand that you have a spiritual enemy who wants to oppose you. The Bible says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's not just enough for him to poke you or to stick a pin in your arm and make you feel it a little bit. It's not just enough to steal your life away. It's not just enough for him to kill, you know, the burden, or to kill, you know, the life that God desires for you. He wants to destroy you. Ultimate destruction of your life. He wants to do anything that he can to disrupt you and to keep you from becoming that masterpiece that God has created you to be. We don't get attacked This is something that you can write down and you can keep this in your life. I think I threw this up on the screen. If not, there it is. We don't get attacked because we're doing something wrong. We get attacked because we're doing something right. What business does Satan have with you if you're not doing anything positive for God? I mean, honestly, think about that. And that doesn't mean that you're not going to have problems. You say, well, you know, hey, I'll just not do nothing for God. My life will be great. That's not what it means. But if you're trying to do something right and you're trying to do something for God, you're trying to do something that God has put inside of you, Satan's going to come after you. He's going to do everything that he can to distract you and to discourage you from fulfilling what God has put inside of you. So today I want to look at a couple of different ways really quickly about how our enemy and Satan himself will try and discourage you. The first one is your enemy will attempt to discourage you from the outside. From the outside. I'll explain that here in just a second. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 4 today, and let's read the first three verses as it reads. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates in the army of Samaria, he said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" Verse 3. Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, What they are building, if even a fox climbed up on it, he would break down their wall of stones. Very significant in this whole story of Nehemiah. By the way, I challenge you to go read this whole book. It won't take you long. It's a phenomenal story of so many different concepts and so many different things that we can learn from his life. And it's not just about being a leader, and it's not just about making a difference. And you know, there's so many other things. But, you know, as we talk about discouragement today, and you need to read the whole, at least today, go home and read chapter 4. Go home and read chapter 4, because I'm just going to bounce through some verses in this, but the whole story, you know, it just comes together in this whole facet. Because here's Sanballat, and by the way, I'm sure glad that my mom and dad did not name me Sanballat. I wouldn't, that'd been bad. I'd tell my mama right now, that would not have been good. I would not have wanted to go through life with that name. You know, it's kind of bad, because he's sitting here making fun and criticizing all these other people, and you know, he's got this name. But anyways, that's kind of so here he is, and he's basically making fun of the Jews, and he's saying, "You can't do this. This is stupid." That's what he's saying. That's today's language. Then, what do you think you are? I mean, come on, look at this wall. It's been torn down. It's just a big old pile of heap, and you can't fix this. This is ridiculous. And Tobiah, then he comes with the little, this is, even if a little fox climbed up on it, even if something so small, remember I said it just takes a little bitty seed, even if so, something so small from outside of these walls, from outside of your life, just something so small, jump up on it, it'll fall. Discouragement in our lives often comes from the outside, and it does so in two. Now, there's several different ways, but I want to talk about two particularly today. The first one is through obstacles. Obstacles that pop up in our life that we have to you know, like this. God gives you a burden to get your family out of debt. I mean, honestly, today, you know, a lot of people go through Dave Ramsey's, financial peace. And it's a great program, by the way. And it's a hard program to do, but it's a great program. You know, people wanting to get out of debt, wanting to pay their bills. And so, you know, God gives you this burden to get your family out of debt. And you're super excited, and you start paying off bills, and you start saving money, and then all of a sudden your car breaks down, your washer quits, the toilet breaks. And then, you know, all the money that you've saved is now gone to pay for those expenses, and you're $1,200 in debt, and you're having to start all over. Real easy to get discouraged and think, well, man, this is just ridiculous. I can't do this. It comes in that way. You feel it's time to step up and start serving in ministry, and you get information, you talk to people, you go through the proper channels, and you start serving, and then all of a sudden your boss changes your work schedule. That's reality. I hear that all the time, and I see it, especially in our area. You got to work to survive, right? I mean, you're ready, gung-ho, and the boss gives you the new, and it's just, you know, two steps forward and three steps back always leads you in the same direction. It always does, and it's discouraging. And when you're doing something right for God, expect obstacles, because our enemy doesn't attack you when you're doing something wrong. He attacks you when you're doing something right. The second way discouragement and opposition comes from the outside is through criticism. And I want to spend just a little bit of time here talking about this, because that's the way Sanballat and Tobiah came to the Jewish people. He said, man, you're feeble, you're weak, you're nothing. Who do you think you are? There's no way that you could do this. This is stupid. This is ridiculous. You actually think that you're going to be able to make a difference? Do you actually think that you're going to be able to accomplish this? Things like God speaks to you to change your life. You say, man, I need to change my life. The things that are going on in my life, I need to change. And maybe you decide to come to church, or a person decides to come to church, and during that service, they give their life to God, and all these burdens and this stuff that's inside that God's put there, God draws them, by the way. And then he begins to change their life, and they begin to open up to this life change and be a part of this life change. And you know, everything is really going good, and you make those changes, and then you hear the inevitable, and this inevitably always happens. Who do you think you are, some super spiritual person now? You too good to be my friend? Boy, I used to hear that all the time. When I made that break in my life and I began to walk away from this life to walk towards this life, that was the biggest statement that got me. The biggest one. Who do you think you are? Walking away from my addictions was easy compared to walking away from the people that were in my life that I knew I had to. It was, you know, I'd listen to this criticism. You're better than everyone else. You'll never make it. You'll mess up. This is just a fad. It will pass. Maybe God is leading you in a different direction with your life. And I've heard several people and know several people. You know, maybe you've got a good job and you make really good money, and God is leading you to walk away from that to start something different, or to start a new job or a new ministry that is lower paying, that doesn't have quite the benefits than what you had. And you know, and you say, okay, God, I'm going to do this, and you make that move, and things kind of get to going, and then all of a sudden you're met with, man, this is the craziest, most stupidest thing I've ever heard of. You walked away from this to do this. I knew a pastor one time that you know, one of the most successful pastors that definitely in our area. He pastored a huge, huge church in St. Louis, and I mean, he was a great guy, man of God. And the church, he'd taken this church, and it had grown, it had exploded, and you know, his numbers grew, his staff grew, and you know, he made a good salary, he lived in a great place, nice house, everything was paid, everything was good, and God said, leave it and go to the missions field. And it's like, God, I've got a family, and I've got this, and I may, you know, how am I going to, you know, God said, leave it. And you know, when I used to hear, you know, one of my former pastors tell this story, and just the criticism and the this whole feeling. He's like, you got to be crazy, but this is what God told him to do. But he still faced this criticism. Or maybe God has given you a burden for a ministry in your life. And you're excited, and you're chomping, and you're ready to go, and then all of a sudden you get this, well, you can't do this, and this doesn't fit, and we've never done this before, and it won't ever work. And by the way, any of this discouragement that we're talking about, or even if that, it doesn't come from God. I mean, really, you think God's going to give you a burden and then discourage you from fulfilling that burden? That's just not, you know, God's not the author of confusion. He doesn't plant these feelings inside of us. It comes from the enemy. And oftentimes he will use people, good people, to be part of that criticism. And in fact, he does this in churches all over the world. And the reason that he does this in churches, and the reason that criticism is so prevalent in churches, is because he knows that if he can plant that seed in one person, he can keep a ton more from doing what God has told them to do, from fulfilling the burdens that God has planted inside of them. And then you know what happens? The people that God designed to use you to affect don't get affected by you, because we're more focused on the discouragement than we are the burden that God put inside of us. That's real. He does it all the time. I've been a part of it. I've been the critical one before. It's discouraging. And sometimes we're discouraging other people and we don't even know it. We don't even know it. We just see something that, you know, and it's just, it's hard. It's hard to accept criticism. Honestly, it's hard not to be critical. It's hard to, you know, that's kind of a whole different message in itself because I'm talking about receiving it today and not giving it. But I mean, honestly, it's hard for us as humans not to be critical of other people. And you know why that is? Because other people are different than me. And you're different than me. And I'm different than you. It's just difficult. But here's what you need to understand. If you want to change the world, if you want to make a difference where you are, if you want to do something significant, if you want to be a leader, criticism is a part of it. And you have to face that now. You've got to accept that now. I have to accept that. It's just a part of it. And I don't care if it's lead. It could be in a church. It could be in a business. Who gets criticized more than anybody in a business? The boss. The sheriff. And his criticism doesn't stay in his office. I mean, come on. I was in that office for 8 or 9 years. I know who gets it. And it don't matter who does it. He gets it. All the time. Really, think about that. It's a part of it. It's a significant part, but it's a part that you have to learn how to manage. Now, I don't like it. Sheriff don't like it. It hurts. It stings. You don't want to go through it. I don't know anybody that does, but it's a part that we have to understand comes with the whole thing, the whole package, the whole picture. And Nehemiah was criticized for what he was doing. And here is what Nehemiah did not do. Nehemiah didn't call his people up and go, man, they're so mean. These people, they're just mean. You guys, come on, you know my heart, don't you? You know, I mean, really, and we're doing a good thing here, aren't we? By the way, when you're criticized, you'll start questioning yourself. But Nehemiah, he did not do this. In fact, what he did, and this is where you're going to have to go read this. You're going to have to go read chapter 4 today. But I'm just going to give you an overview of what he did. You know, he did two things. The first thing he did when they criticized him is he took it to God. When the criticism came, he took it to God. Immediately took it to God. Went to God. And said, you know, really, God, they're attacking me. He took it to God. He didn't go take it to somebody else. He didn't go to even take it to himself. He took it to God. By the way, when you take criticism to other people, you share your criticism with other people, and then you allow somebody else to be critical of the thing that somebody's already critical with you about or you're being critical with. You get that? I'm just saying. We share the criticism. And it's an infestation that is poisonous. Just saying. The second thing he did is he got back to work. He got back to work. He didn't waste time facing the discouragement or the situation. He said, okay, God, this is what's happening, and I need your wisdom, and I need your guidance, and this really hurts, and, you know, please help me with how I'm doing this. And boom, right back doing the thing that God had put him to do. Anytime people criticize you, you don't have to lead defensively and beg people to be on your side. Now, I'm not saying go be rude and go be mean. But if God speaks something to you, that came from God Almighty. That came from Him. And that's a big deal. You take it to God and you get back to work. Do your part in the right way. You know, contrary to what most people think, pastors get criticized. That was supposed to be funny. You can laugh. We get criticized all the time. I mean, really, I make decisions all the time that people don't like. It doesn't fit or it doesn't go with something. And, you know, I have to deal with that. Used to, it really, really, really bothered me. I mean, bad. It would totally disrupt my entire life. If somebody wasn't on board with me, I was more concerned about getting them on board with me than I was about doing what God would want me to do, and my wife would amen me right now. She knows how I am. I just didn't want to disrupt things. I'm not a confrontational person. I didn't want any of that stuff. It hurt me. It would just totally ruin me. But through God's help and my wonderful wife's help and other leaders and people and friends, I've learned that, you know, yeah, the criticism is going to hurt, but what God has spoken to me is even more important. And if I'm so 100% positive that it's from Him, then I have to do what He has put inside of me. And you should too. We serve God, not man. God first. God first. And that's not always going to be the popular thing. That's not always going to be the thing that gets you patted on the back and gets you told good job. But if it's the right thing, then it's the make a difference thing. When you follow God, you have to understand that you will be discouraged by obstacles and criticism from the outside. The second way, just really quickly, that the enemy will discourage you is from the inside. Okay, the inside of yourself. Verse 10, chapter 4. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength, and this is the people that, okay, Nehemiah had went and inspired them. They got them on board, and they said, you bet, let's do it. And then he goes on to say, the strength of the laborers is giving out. The discouragement is becoming too much. We're getting attacked too much. We are too weak. We can't do this. Satan had planted the seeds, and they were growing them. The strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. We can't do this. The task was too big. And I believe your spiritual enemy will do what he can inside of you. Well, we don't have what it takes. I mean, who are we to actually think that we could rebuild these walls? These were some of the questions and the thoughts going on in these people's heads. They've been down for 140 years. Who are we to think that we can be the people, we can be the ones to rebuild this thing and restore order back to our people and our community? We're not good enough. He'll always try to discourage you from the inside. Like that, God gives you a huge burden, this huge responsibility. And immediately Satan will begin to work on you from the inside with things like, who do you think you are? You're nobody. You're only a stay-at-home mom. You're only a single dad. You're only a farmer. You're only a factory worker. You're not anybody. You don't even have a job. You can't talk like this person, and you can't speak like this person, and you can't sing like this person, and you can't play like this person, and you don't know as much about a computer as that person. And these thoughts, this little seed, start getting planted in our head. And then we get our eyes off of our burden, mention that again, and on our discouragement. And when this happens, the enemy wins. He wins. And then you allow yourself to be consumed by the discouragement instead of consumed by God. I can promise you, God speaks to you to do something great. You're going to defend unborn children. You're going to work to help feed hungry children. You're going to minister to teenagers or young kids. You're going to take children into your home as foster parents. And then this voice is going to say, who do you think you are? I mean, you sit down and cry. You're broken by it. You kneel and pray. You stand up and act. Okay, you've got this plan. You know, you've inspired some people. And then this little voice is saying, then if you do all that, and guess what's going to happen? Nothing. It's just going to be exactly like the last time you tried. Anything to discourage you from moving forward. But there's a way to defeat this, and it's really simple. And I mean, it really is, and it's found in one verse in this whole story. And there's two things that you're going to see here that I'm going to point out really quick as we close. Number one, let me read the verse first. Verse 14. If you kind of continue on into verse 14, it says this. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. This is kind of a free nugget. Don't be afraid. I know they're being critical. I know the things they're saying are bad. I know they're lying. I know they're mean. I know all these. Don't be afraid. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, and your daughters, and your wives, and your home. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and then fight for your burden. By the way, if you read the story, it's really easy to see that the burden, we get to thinking that the burden is the wall. The burden's not the wall. Why'd he go back? He went back for his people. He went back for his relatives. That was the burden. And he's standing there saying, remember the Lord and stand up and fight for your burden. You know, and these opponents, he's saying, don't be afraid. If we were living in the New Testament, he would say this, hey, don't be afraid of them because greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. He would have said, don't be afraid of them because it is if God is for us, who can be against us? Just like the song that we sang. He would have said, don't be afraid of them because who can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? Can trouble, can hardship, can persecution, can famine, can nakedness, can peril, nor sword? No, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who gives us strength. I mean, in all essence, if he was in the New Testament day and those had been written, that's what he would have been saying. So in this verse, he says, hey, come on. Don't be afraid. And he gives two things. When you get discouraged, when you face discouragement, when you face these obstacles, when you face this criticism, when you face these things that are going on and these thoughts inside of your head, two things. Number one, remember the Lord. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And this isn't just some, well, just remember God and, you know, God's there. You got to go back and you got to remember. And just like this, he could go back and say, listen, you people were in captivity. In captivity. Your family and the people around you were stuck with Pharaoh for all of those years in slavery. Remember the God that sent a man to you. Remember the God who chose a man that couldn't speak, that didn't want to stand in front of people, that didn't want to be a leader. Remember that God raised him up and helped him become that leader, and that was Moses. And then, you know, remember how he stood before, and remember, you know, how you guys were, you know, the plagues came. When God made the statement because Pharaoh stood in their face and said, "Ah, you ain't nothing." And God showed up. Remember that God. Remember the God that when you were running down the mountain and you were facing the sea and you thought that you were, you know, captivated by everything around you and you're going to be squashed. Remember the God who parted that sea and let you safely go across. Remember that God. Remember that God when you were wandering in the wilderness, when you were hungry. Remember the God that provided you something to eat and provided you water to drink. Remember that God. Remember the God that, you know, the perilous times and the dangers that you faced, and he provided a way out of those every single time. Remember that God. And when you're facing the discouragement that's going on in your life, regardless of where it came from, you need to remember how great and awesome the Lord has been in your life. Remember the God that saved you from a life of addiction or saved you from a life of just plain sin. Or remember the God that brought you up out of depression. Or remember the God that was there with you when you were in your financial struggle or when your marriage was struggling and it was restored. Remember that God. Remember the God that gave you strength to face the bully down the street. Remember that God. The same God that got you through that is the same God that's going to get you through this. The same God. And that verse, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And if that same God was for us then, he will be for you now. And if he is for us, who can be against us? He said, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and who is awesome. For some of you today, you need to remember who God is in your life and what he has done. And I say that boldly, and I mean it boldly. Because when we get so down and we get so discouraged by all this stuff that just continues to pile, God is still good. He's still good. The second thing, when you're discouraged, to kind of close this thing out, you need to fight for your burden. You need to stand up and you need to fight for your burden. Fight for the cause of it, not for yourself. If you fight for yourself, you'll fail. Just plain and simple. But if you fight for something beyond yourself, if you fight for something that is God-given, instilled, someone you love, someone who needs you, someone who couldn't make it without you, and God has put that purpose inside of you, he will give you the spiritual strength that you could never have on your own to accomplish it. And we have to understand that. Remember the last part of verse 14. He says, fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Fight for your people. Fight for this burden. People, Christianity is not some playground. All the time, it's not. There's times it's great, and there's times it's wonderful, and we're sliding down the slide going, wee! And it's just great. But sometimes we get stuck on the merry-go-round too long, and it just makes us sick. You get dizzy and you want to get off this ride and you're just like, man, and when you do, you're just spinning around and you don't know which direction to go. It's tough. I mean, our battle is real and it is not against flesh and blood. It's against the spiritual forces and the darkness of this world, things that maybe necessarily you can't see. And your enemy is real. He is an adversary that is roaming around seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't want to oppose you when you're doing something wrong. He wants to oppose you and attack you when you're doing something right, and he will do it. And then once again in Nehemiah 4, you're going to have to go read this. You just like Nehemiah, you fight like a man. You fight like a woman of God. You fight for your burden, what he has put inside of you. Get down on your knees. Fight like a person of prayer. Take it to God. And every now and then, you do what Nehemiah had his people do. And in the rest of the story, it actually says, he said, this is what he said. He said, our enemy is going to attack us. He said, it's going to happen. God's give us this burden. He is going to attack you. There's nothing you can do to get away from this or to bypass this attack. It's going to happen. So we're going to be ready. That's what this whole message is about today, by the way. Just being ready. It's going to happen. You're going to be attacked. Be ready. But we are not going to stop working. We are not going to stop doing the things that God has put inside of us. We are not going to stop trying to fulfill this burden that he has placed inside of us. So what I want you to do is put a tool in one hand, tool or weapon, actually, if you'll read that, and to do the work with the other. You put the tool in one hand to do the work, and you put the weapon in the other hand to defend and to fight. But you don't stop. You don't quit. God gave us this, and we're going to fulfill it. God gives you the burden, and the burden is worth fighting for, and he will give you the courage and the strength and the means to fight for it. Today, I don't know what you're fighting for. I don't know what your burden was. I don't know this thing that was inside of you. I don't know what discouragement has kept you from doing. I don't know if you're going to fight for unborn babies. I don't know, you know, because they don't have a voice, and their voice is going to become your voice. Or I don't know if you're going to fight for the victims of child abuse because no one is caring, and maybe you will be the one that cares enough. Or if you're going to fight for an abandoned kid, or you're going to fight for the single moms, or you're going to fight for your marriage because your marriage is about to just completely go under. But God said it was worth it when you started it, and it's still worth it today. But you're going to fight for something. We have a burden. We have something inside of us that we're going to fight for. Or maybe you're going to fight for your own kids. Come on, parents. I'm going to speak from the heart. You do things right, the best that you can, not perfect. You try to raise your kids the best that you know how to raise your kids. And then something goes awry. And you're just like, you get discouraged. You just want to quit all that. Well, I wasn't a good enough parent, and I didn't do the right things. And if I would have just done this, then this wouldn't have happened. If I would have just done that. Does that mean that you stop? You don't stop. You stop fighting for your kids. You don't stop fighting for the things that you know that are right and you know that are real and you know that God has put inside of you. And yes, it gets discouraging when it's one of your own. Trust me. You spend many nights with tears running down your face and a heart that aches because of certain things and thoughts that are running through your head, and that's what Satan wants. But, you know, when you actually give that burden back to God and you begin doing the things that he wants you to do inside of that, you begin to be that, you know, that person, that masterpiece that God wants you to be, even in that situation. Then you trust him. Or maybe you're going to fight for those who don't yet know Jesus. And regardless of how discouraged you get, regardless of the obstacles that you face or the criticism that you hear, you will go and remember the goodness of God and how awesome that he is, and you continue to fight for this cause, because when you remember who God is, you will fight for something outside of yourself. God can do this. I know he can. Don't give up. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word and for your challenge. God, for your encouragement. God, this is a tough subject. It really is. And I know that. I understand that. I feel that. I live that. All of this. But God, help us to understand your way and your will in this. And God, help us to understand that, you know, this is just a part. Discouragement is a part of it. We're going to be discouraged because our enemy wants to discourage us. That's real. We can defeat this, God. You're still a good God. The burden you put inside of us is worth fighting for. If you're here this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed in this place, maybe you're the person I was talking about earlier, that maybe God has just kind of spoke to you, or maybe you didn't even know it was God. Maybe you're just kind of feeling this feeling inside of you, and you're just like, man, something's got to change. I don't know, the way I'm doing things just ain't working, and you know, I don't really know a whole lot about this God thing, and you know, I'm really not sure. But you just feel something inside of yourself, and that just continues to draw you towards Him. That's you today, and you've got that feeling inside. I'm just going to ask you right now to be honest with yourself and honest with Him. Don't run from it. Don't be discouraged by it. And I'll be up front. And if, you know, here in a moment, if you decide to make that choice and that decision to take a chance on God and to make Him, you know, to make Jesus your best friend and your Savior, I'm just going to tell you, just I'm going to be really honest. You will be attacked. But don't be afraid. Because God is great and awesome, and He will help you with your issues and your problems in your life, just like He's helped the person that's next to you and the person that's behind you and the person that's in front of you, just like He's helped me. And if that's you this morning and you know that that's you and you just got this feeling inside of your heart with nobody looking around, I just have to give the opportunity. If that's you, would you just wave at me and say, yep, that's me. I've done this on my own too much, too long. I see that. Anybody else? Anyone else? Then everybody else just kind of stay put, and you just pray for just a second. And this person that raised their hand, I'm just going to pray and speak specifically. You know, you're going to have it all figured out. You don't have to. God takes care of that. You have to trust and believe. And you have to give God complete control of your life and your situation. And that's scary, because we're control freaks. We want to control our life. We want to control our situations. But this is about faith. It's just about having faith and trusting Him. And the whole picture's not going to be painted. And just like I said, you will be attacked. You will face criticism. You're going to face obstacles. And you're even going to face your own mind. But you can do that. You can do that. This is worth fighting for. The only thing that you need to do is just ask God to forgive you of your mistakes, to ask Him to be your Savior, and then tell somebody about it. Affirm that inside of your life. Today, if it's the person next to you, if it's me, if it's a family member, then you tell them today. Make yourself accountable. The rest of us here this morning, I know I saw hands earlier of the people that were discouraged. I hope today you kind of get an idea that you can beat this. Right now, I want us as a church to remember the things God has done for us. Remember what God has done for you in your life. You've placed that discouragement smack dab in front of your face, and you stand up in front of it, and you say, you know what, Satan, I know you're going to attack me, but my God is greater. And greater is He that is in me than you ever thought about. You remember how great and awesome God is. And then once you push through that discouragement, I hope you place your burden right back up there where you can see that too. Because it's worth fighting for. During this time of response and this time of worship, I just ask you to be real and honest with yourself. Look inside of yourself. If you need to get out from where you are and you need to find a place away from everybody else, whether it's up here, back there, to the side, I don't care where it is, then by all means do it. This is a time of reflection. It's a time of honesty between you and God. It's a time of facing the things that are going on in your life. If you need somebody to pray with, then if you make a step to the front of this place, you will be met by somebody. And prayer team, that means any of you. You're available to fight with them. You won't be alone. Maybe you just need to reach over and grab the hand of the person that's next to you. Not say a word. And just join in this battle together. You can defeat discouragement. You matter, and you can make a difference. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for life. Thank you for your strength, your power, your mercy. God, thank you for helping us deal with and conquer discouragement in our lives. Father, right now I pray for freedom. God, I pray for reality. God, I pray for focus and trust and faith in you. God, I believe that today, God, that as people, we can begin to understand and begin to know that truly you are greater than anything that we face. You are greater than anything that we face. And that you'll always be there, great and awesome. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.